Well, I thank you for joining us today. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you. And I'm glad that you're joining in today because we're going to talk about what did Jesus look like? What did our Lord look like? What does the Bible say? Last week, I guess I lost my prize from last week because I didn't give you the scriptures, did I? I'm going to start out doing that today, give you the scriptures for our study on our question, is hell a real place? And we talked about that and found out what the Bible said about it. And I hope that if you were not saved the last time you listened to this recording, that you are born again now, and that you didn't fool around anymore, and you went ahead and took the Lord serious and took His Word serious and went ahead and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the rest of you, praise the Lord for studying God's Word and wanting to know what the Lord says about it and allowing God the Holy Ghost to have first place in your mind and in your thoughts. Okay, so let me give you these scriptures and from our last study. And I think the one prior to that, we had actually two recordings on this question, is hell a real place? The first one, I think I gave that to you. It was Luke chapter 16 and verse 19 through 31. And then on the last recording that we had, here are the scriptures that we used to look at, to talk about and find out the truth, was Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29 and 30. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew chapter 23, verse 14. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 11. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 and 3. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Romans chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. Revelation chapter 14, verse 11. And Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. And then we had Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Just a few more here. Matthew chapter 13, verse 40 through 42, and then 49 and 50. Matthew chapter 23, verse 33. And Mark chapter 9, verse 43 through 49. And we definitely don't make no apologies for all that scripture, because that's why we're here, right? We want to know what God's Word says, and the more scripture, the better. And comparing scripture with scripture. And one thing that's wonderful about the Lord's Word is that when if you believe God's Word, it'll always give you an answer. Now, you might not completely understand fully about things, but the bottom line is there won't be any confusion in it. God's Word, you take your fingers and just fold them together real smooth, like you're folding one fist with both your hands, and you just fold them together. That's how God's Word knits together. The Lord's Word is such a mystery, and the Lord has put His Word together in such a way to where no fool can figure that Bible out. And there's so many people trying to figure God out and figure His Word out, and that's why all these other Bibles are around, because everybody thinks they figured it out, so they just write one and put it that way and call it this and call it that. But The Holy Ghost will teach you what God's word is. All you got to do is ask Him and be sincere, and talk to Him with truth. And the Lord knows whether you mean it in your heart or not, and you really want to know. And if you do, He'll show you. You won't have any doubts about it. You don't want to fight nobody over that. Stand your ground, what you believe. But the Word of God knits together, and it just comes together beautifully, and it just gives you joy in your heart, and it just nails down the truth, and where you can walk away from it and believe it, and it be doctrine, and you can stand on it. And no matter how the world changes, and the world's thinking, and the world's bunch of blobbity blob and all the stupid stuff they come up with, you ain't got to worry about it because you know the truth. And the Lord said, Jesus Christ, that He is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, you don't get three different answers like that. That's what man's looking for. What's the way? What's the truth? And how do you get life? And Jesus answered all three of them right there. I am. Isn't that something? Jesus, even in that scripture right there, do you see that? That spiritual part of that? I am. Who is I am? I am is the name of God the Father. I am that I am. And Jesus said before Abraham was, I am. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It don't get no plainer than that or simpler than that. The only thing that's bad about it is people are stupid, and they're ignorant, and they choose to be that way, and they fight against the Lord, just like you and I did before the Lord convinced us that He was right, and we knew He was right all the time, but we finally decided, I've been being stupid and I'm a fool, and I'm going to come to the Lord. And I never regretted it. Have you regretted it? Of course not. You don't ever regret coming to the Lord. Never. I've never heard anybody say in my ears, man, I wish I hadn't got saved. Never. Not even when you're disobedient and you're out there acting like an idiot and back to you drinking or back to you whatevering. I ain't even never heard anybody that's disobedient regret coming to the Lord. Now, they might regret that hind end getting whipped and tore up, because God can tear up some hind end. And He will. He said, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And He not only stopped there, but He said, He scourgeth every son. In other words, He blisters your hind end. And when you walk away from His lessons, you walk away knowing some things. And you don't want to go back behind the barn no more. So one of the good things about God's lessons that He teaches is the truth that's probably on the headlines. The headliner of His truths is that I don't want to have to go through that class again. Amen. Well, what did Jesus look like? Well, there's a whole bunch of things in the world that people come up with that one, too. I heard over in California there's a 50-foot Jesus standing out in the beach in the water. And had some of the craziest stuff. 50-foot tall Jesus standing out on the beach in the water. Boy, He must have had a cooler full of whatever He had. But anyway, there's a whole bunch of people that come up with what they think the Lord looked like. But the bottom line is, nobody knows. Nobody knows, and nobody's going to know until you get face to face with the Lord. The Lord's not going to give nobody anything to start some kind of, to use His name. The Lord said no flesh is going to glory in front of Him. And they're not going to, nobody's going to glory over making money or coveting or using Him or using His holy name or even His picture to try to do something in the flesh. It ain't going to happen. So the Lord chose not to give that to us because that's just exactly what man would do. He'd take it and there'd be a big old court battle over who gets the rights and the permits and all that stuff for Jesus's picture. And after the fist fights and the murders and all the underhanded stuff that goes on, finally somebody would get it and they'd market it, and then they'd have a patent for a little while, and then all of a sudden somebody else would come out and he'd have a mustache, and this all kind of stupid stuff would happen with that, wouldn't it? Just exactly like that, too. That's humanism. That is man. That's what man does. Man does that. Man don't want a picture of the Lord so he can admire him and adore him. If you can't adore the Lord by faith, you can't adore him if you're looking at him. That's what Abraham told that rich man when he was in hell. He said, if he ain't going to listen to Moses' preaching, he ain't going to believe nobody rose from the dead. Same thing. So what did Jesus look like? We do have some scripture, and the Bible does tell us some things to give us evidence about some attributes of the Lord. And we're going to look at them, and this is probably going to be a pretty short recording because I don't want to get into the next one and break it up. I want to start it brand new, and I'll tell you about that in just a little bit. But the answer to this question, what did Jesus look like, is nobody knows. The religious so-called artists portray Jesus as a pale-faced, long, blonde-haired, effeminate-looking hippie. They put him up on the cross in a nice, bleached-out, white, satin-looking garment. And Jesus didn't have nothing on when he was on the cross. He was naked. He was shamed. He despised the shame. They didn't crucify people with clothes on. They took them off. The Bible plainly says that the Romans parted his garments and his coat that he had. They cast lots over it so that they wouldn't tear it up. They stripped the Lord down before they put him on that cross and killed him. But the religious people, they the drawings that they come out with, they got him in a nice, fine linen thing. His head looked like he just come out of the beauty parlor and got long, golden, flowing hair. And he's up there on the cross and got one little dot of blood over on the left palm, one little dot of blood on the right, and one little dot of blood down on his feet down there, you know. And nice, clean cross. Looked like it just recently been scrubbed and, you know, and a lot of green grass all around, stuff like that. Yeah. That's not at all what the Bible description of the crucifixion was, but talking about the way that Jesus looked. They got him, you know, I've seen white Jesuses, black Jesuses, brown Jesuses, Mexican Jesuses, Chinese Jesuses. I mean, there's all kind of Jesuses. But the one from the Bible, our Lord, the invisible God, the Bible says. The invisible God. That's our Lord. And the Lord came and he became a human being. He was incarnated in the flesh. And I'm sorry for laughing. It just tickles me. It shouldn't tickle. It ought to make you mad. But I've been mad long enough I can laugh about it, I guess. But people are crazy. They're crazy when it comes to the Lord and his things. They don't honor him. They don't worship him. They don't admire him. They don't respect him. They don't give him the glory that's due to him. They spit on him. But the spitting's going to be over with pretty soon. All the spitting's going to be over with, and all the funny faces and the frowns and the turning the shoulder and all that stuff, it's going to be over with. It's coming to an end. People just about talked herself out of thinking that, where is that? Where is your God? Where is God? They did that in the Old Testament, remember? Where is your God? But they got him down as like an effeminate hippie. And if you know anything about your Bible, and just to remind you every now and then, when I'm talking about the Bible, I'm talking about the King James Bible. If you know anything about your Bible or the Lord Jesus Christ, this is not anything but wild, foolish imagination. And it's an insult to the Son of God. The Scriptures do not... Well, I mean, even over in San Francisco, once a year, they put on a parade, one of them... homosexual, sodomite, pervert parades. And they put that on, and then one of the floats is they put on a crucifixion. And one of the sodomites is up there on the cross portraying Jesus with rainbow colors and all. Is that the Lord? Is that what he looked like? If you know anything about your Bible and just reading about the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not anything but wild, foolish imagination and ignorant. There ain't no knowledge to it. There ain't no wisdom to it. And it's an insult to the Lord. The Lord told them people one time, he said, "And you disrespecting me." He told them whenever they was talking to him, told him that he had an evil spirit. Remember that? And he said, "You're disrespecting me." And that was God telling them, "Man, you better watch out. You're disrespecting me now." But they didn't care. Now, scriptures do not anywhere at all, anywhere, anyhow, anywhere, state emphatically what the Lord looked like. But with many things in the Bible that we've talked about before and compared before, it does give us evidence of some features and some attributes of the Lord and other truths that lead us to outline his person. But nothing specifically factual that we can say Jesus had a mustache and it was black and it had curls on the end. We can't say that because the Bible doesn't give description of anything like that. Nothing. But it does give us some things that we can know because of who he was and how he was born and come into humanity. Now, God the Holy Ghost never led any of the writers to record what the Lord looked like. And Jesus himself never described himself in the scriptures. So that ought to be enough for us not to pursue it. If the Lord don't talk about it, he didn't want us to know. And that's where most of you scholars and most of your knowledge and most of your religious persons nowadays, and I'm talking about nowadays, right now in society, most of the things that they're fighting about and they're arguing about and ain't got nothing to do with anything the Lord wanted us to know. They're searching about things that ain't got nothing to do with what the Bible teaches us and what the Lord wanted us to know. And it's foolishness. And they're calling that education. And they're calling that scholarship. That's not what the Bible teaches. And the Lord told us not to run after foolish questions and not to listen to them. And not to seek anything that keeps on asking question after question after question after question. Pretty soon you just figure out, you know, we're not going to get no answer to this. At least most common people do. And they've just put it away and forget it. We're not never going to get no answer. Let's quit talking about it. Well, that ain't what you smart people do. Now, the Lord did not think it's something. He didn't think it was something that we need to know right now. Is what he looked like. Now we can rest on that. We don't have to know what he looked like. All we got to know is what he says. Because how Jesus looked like ain't going to get you out of hell. And how Jesus looked like ain't going to get you into heaven. How Jesus looked ain't got nothing to do with doctrine. It ain't got nothing to do with what's right and wrong. It ain't got nothing to do about what we're supposed to believe what is and what is not. Nothing to do with it. So the Lord chose not to tell us about it. But what we can know, let's take a look at. Let's look at some of these scriptures and see what we find out about it, okay? So we'll start out in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 2. Here's what the Bible says. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Now, what does that tell us right there in that verse? It tells us that there was nothing outstanding or special as far as the Lord Jesus Christ as a human being. He didn't have a great big muscular Samson looking body. He didn't walk around. He wasn't tall like Saul was, where he stood out over everybody. The Bible says that he had no form, meaning any form that was out of the ordinary, or no comeliness. He wasn't a real handsome man. I don't know who to compare him to. I don't know any handsome men. I don't look at handsome men. But anyway, he said he didn't have any comeliness. There was nothing that would attract by looking at him that would make you take a second look. Or magnetic about him. And the Bible says, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So, according to the scriptures, there was nothing respectfully now. He is our Lord, but he's going to look different when we see him next time. He ain't going to be able to take your eyes off of him. But when he come this time in the first coming, there wasn't nothing special about him. He was a human being born in a human way, from a woman, from a conception, and born into the world, had blood, bones, hair, toes, fingers, eyeballs, and they all work just like a human being's does. And he was born. And there was no beauty that we should desire him. He worked in a carpenter shop with Joseph, his father, or done some of that kind of work. So he was probably a strong man, strong in a manly way, not in a showy way, but worked with wood, from what I understood. Or what we hear, it doesn't say it directly, but from what we see. But there wasn't nothing special about him. Now, it said that there wasn't anything physically attractive about him that would draw any special attention to him. Okay, so we see that. Now, that gives us somewhat of a description. We're talking about what did Jesus look like. Well, the Bible tells us a little bit about what he did look like right there in that verse by telling us what he did not look like. He did not look like a weightlifter. He did not have any comeliness. He did not look in such a way to where people would desire him and go back and talk about him and how pretty he was and all this. He wasn't a real beautiful man. There was no special beauty about him. Okay, let's look at another verse in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 48. The Bible says, "Now he that betrayeth him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast." Now we know who that was. That was Judas Iscariot, the betrayer. And he went to them, he went to the priest, and all of them made a deal. And this is what tells us that Jesus was not an outstanding, he was outstanding, but what I mean is he did not stand out in a crowd, because Judas had to tell them a way that he was going to identify him. Because if they had walked up there not knowing and not having Judas there, they couldn't have told who Jesus was, because they just looked like normal men. All the men standing around. Okay, who's Jesus? They didn't know. They couldn't tell. Because Jesus didn't stand out. Judas had to walk up there and kiss him. And when he did, that identified to all the people that came with their sticks and their stones and blah-bitty-blah blah, to make to come and arrest Jesus, identified him that way. And they knew that was Jesus Christ then. But they didn't know him from before. They couldn't find him. They didn't know what he looked like. And all the times that he was in the city and the Jews got ready to stone him and everything, and he slipped away and got in the crowd, the Bible said, and slipped out of there. Nobody could point at him because he looked like a regular human man. Now, you get like one of them Catholic Jesuses or something like that, with that real bright golden hair and that white bleached out satin thing on him, boy, they'd point him out in a hurry. But not the Lord. That was something. He did not stand out from the crowd. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 59, "Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Man, they started running after getting them rocks to throw at Jesus and stone him, and Jesus went out of the temple and went down in the crowd down there and lost them. They couldn't figure out who he was. He didn't stand out in the crowd. The Bible says in Luke chapter 24, verse 15 through 18, "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned..." Now, you know what this is. This is where them men were walking on the road to Emmaus after Jesus' resurrection, and the Lord joined in with them, and they didn't know who he was. And he walked with them and was going and walked however far they was walking. I think they was going home, and he walked with them, and he was talking, and he was asking them questions about this Jesus of Nazareth. And they say, "Where are you, a stranger in town? You don't know nothing about them priests murdering the Lord, murdering Jesus Christ." And they went talking, and then he went to pass by the house up there, and them men told him, "Come on in, it's late, and come spend the evening with us, and we'll feed you and everything else." So that's where this picks up. And it said, "It came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." He started walking with them. "But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" And one of them whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" I mean, they was walking with the Lord. Walking with the resurrected Lord. And they didn't even know him. And then, when they got to the house, they were sitting around a supper table, and all of them were sitting around there, and as they was eating, the Lord opened up their eyes and opened up their understanding, and they looked at him, and they knew who he was, and it said he vanished. He vanished out of their sight, but they recognized him right before he left. Now, that will make the hair stand up on your arms, won't it? To see the Lord and recognize him then. But they recognized him. But there wasn't nothing special about him. He walked on the road with them. They didn't know who he was. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 48, if you remember, that's where Judas, they didn't know who he was either. He gave him a sign. Said, when I kiss him, it's going to be Jesus Christ. Take him. And then we come up to Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6. The Bible says, "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting." Of course, we see that this is prophecy about the Lord's torture that he went through. And we can find out some physical features about the Lord here. It said, "I gave my back to the smiters." And he said, "I gave my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair." So we know that people that have hair on their cheeks, he was probably had a beard. The Bible says that the only way they can pull the hair out of his cheeks is that he had a beard. So the Lord did have a beard. He said he didn't hide his face from shame and spitting. Okay, so we see that the Lord did have a beard. Most Jews did. You say, what color was his skin? Well, his skin was probably, he was not a black man. He was not a white man. He was not a Mexican. The Lord was a Jew, born from Jewish blood. And he was born as a Jew, and Jews had a sort of olive complexion. They have dark hair and dark beards. It's almost as black as a black can be. You know, it's certain that Jesus looked like an average Jew. Probably had a Jewish nose, an olive complexion. Most of them the same color as far as their complexion that they have. Dark hair and a beard. We know that he had a beard because the Bible said they plucked it out of him. They pulled his beard out. And these are probable descriptions that we're talking about here. I mean, because the Bible teaches us that. So we can put together some of the puzzle. But as far as having a picture, forget it. It's not there. The Lord didn't want us to know. So why search? By faith, we see him by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We see the Lord in our heart. We see the Lord in our minds, and we see his word. Jesus said, I am the word. He said that he's the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Before Jesus Christ was born, he was not Jesus Christ. He was the Word of God. When Jesus is the name of a man. It's not the name of God. It's not the name of God the Father. God the Father has his own names. Jesus Christ is the name of the Son of God, the Son of Man. It's the name of a man. Jesus is the Word of God, incarnate in the flesh, named Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. It's pretty neat, ain't it? I love the way the Lord does things. But the fact that no Bible descriptions given of our Savior is no doubt meant to prevent idolatry and idolatrous worship of images and pictures, and which the Lord was and is very much against. All through the scriptures the Lord talks about in the Old Testament and the New Testament that he don't want us worshiping pictures and don't want us worshiping idols. He don't want them in our thoughts, in our minds, or in our hearts. As a matter of fact, whenever when the Lord had them overrun some people in scripture one time, I remember, he told them, get rid of all the pictures. Burn them. If the Lord had left a picture of himself, man would have fought over who gets the rights to sell it. That's how man would have been about it. They could care less what the Lord. As a matter of fact, they probably would have put it in the mag. All due respect to the Lord, but man probably would have put it in a mad magazine. They would have made dart boards out of it. The wicked would have had a heyday with it. Yeah. That's how man is. Now, we walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 23, listen to this. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. See, even though the Lord didn't leave a picture, they're still trying to do it. Change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Any of these idolatrous gods and the mythological gods and everything else, you see what they do to them and make them look like. Half goat and half this and half that and horns on their head and fangs and anything else they can come up with. Big old elf ears and, I mean, you name it. But that's what they do. They change them into animals, change God into animals and four-footed beasts and bugs and anything they can think of to come up with something new that God looks like. This is God. Looks like a big toe. First John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3 says, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So right there the Bible tells us that the only time that we're going to see the Lord's when he comes. And we're going to see him as he is. And if the Bible tells us that we're going to, so when he appears, we're going to see him as he is, then nobody knows or nobody has seen him as he is, it's on planet Earth. Yet, except for Paul and a few exceptions that the Lord wanted to happen. But we're going to see him when he comes to get us and say, come up hither. We're going to see him, and it's going to be wonderful. But as far as what Jesus looked like, the Bible does not say. And it don't tell us. It gives us some evidence of some things like we've talked about already. But as far as searching and asking questions and doing a big $9 billion search and excavation and blabbity blabbity and all the waste and going to the moon and see what Jesus looked like and all that, phooey, you ain't never going to find out. The Lord made his mind up. He said, no, you're not going to know. You're not going to know. So let's move on. And we'll end with this verse. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. How about that? That's good stuff, ain't it? Okay, so we really didn't come up. We come up with an answer, but it might not have been that. You probably had a great big old piece of paper laying down there on your lap with a big head with ears on it, with no face on it, and you was ready to draw him out, wasn't you? I'm sorry. Bible don't say. You can put that in the fireplace. No such thing. Okay. What did Jesus look like? We don't know what he looked like, and we don't care, because we get to see him. When we see him, it's going to fulfill everything that we want, genuinely, sincerely, and truthfully. Not all this fakey fake garbage and idolatrous worship and all these animals and gods and all this mixture and beasts and stuff like that. Jesus ain't going to have nothing to do with all that trash. So praise the Lord. Next question we're going to open up when we come back together is, should Christians observe Christmas? Uh-oh. Yep, we're going to talk about that. Should Christians observe Christmas? Hope you'll join in. It's going to be interesting. What the Bible says. What does the Bible say? All right. Well, y'all have a wonderful evening. This is Brother Thurman. God bless you. The Lord be kind to you and feed you and give you a roof over your head, and like he's so faithful to us, isn't he? Bye-bye.